Okay, good. Good to see everyone. Good morning. It's great to be together. Oh, man. I love that song. Brings back some really good feelings and some good memories. Yes, good, good, good. It's good to be together this morning. So, man, we have had some snow. We had a real snow day, right? Appreciate everyone jumping online last week. Did not want to do it, but we just went ahead and did it. Glad we did, and we made it happen. Amen. I'm sorry if that brought back some bad memories for some of us from COVID, but yes, it's nice to have that technology when you need it. Anyway, welcome. We are in a theme on prayer. Our theme this year is Light of the World. And this first month of January, which we made a kind of a habit to make it a month of prayer as a church. And so we're talking about prayer this morning. And we're going to be talking specifically, we're going to be in John chapter 17 this morning. I did want to make a very quick announcement. And so you're going to do this recording, right? All right.
He said no announcement.
We're not doing a recording? Oh, okay, got you. All right, good deal. All right, okay, forget that then. So how are we going to get the recordings done?
Oh, well, Teresa
showed the tap to people. Oh, got you. Okay. Sometimes I get stuff handed to me, and they go, Vince, you don't need to announce this. You just need to know about this. So anyway, let's go to God in prayer. Forgetting I said anything, let's start over again. Come on, Carter, end that song again, and Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for this morning, our time to be together. I thank you, God, for how incredible you are, how amazing you are, for how generous you are. Thank you that you, God, are the light of the world. And thank you, Father, that you provide light to the entire world, that you are the sun that shines brightly. And thank you that there was a promise a long, long time ago that there would be sort of these lights that would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Father, that's us. Thank you, Jesus, that you allowed us, you told us as well, that we would be the salt of the earth, that we would be the light of the world. We don't always feel that way, of course, God, and I'm glad we don't live by our feelings. And if we do, God, help us to sort of lean more into the reality of what you said rather than how we feel. But I do understand, God, that sometimes we don't feel very bright. We don't feel very cheery. We don't feel like we're the light of the world. And God, I pray that we can sort of, come out of that, repent of that, grow out of that, change our hearts, our mind when it comes to that, because that really does diminish who you are, diminishes you being the light of the world and you telling us that we are the light of the world. And Lord, we don't want to do anything that diminishes you. Father, so even though we may be tempted at times to diminish ourselves, God, help us to change that, Father. I pray that even, Father, as a result of our message today, God, that we could realize how important it is that we are constantly an encouragement for one another, that we're constantly praying for one another, that we're constantly sort of breathing a little energy in life, that we are sort of always sort of giving life to one another so that we, none of us are tempted to be sort of dimming, that we're always shining like stars in the universe. We love you, God, and thank you for this morning. And we praise you. You are amazing in every way. We pray this all in your son Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Jesus said that we'd be the light of the world. And so, two things that help our light to shine. And those things are unity and prayer. And today I want to talk about how Jesus prayed for our unity. You see, Jesus, he did pray for our unity. And he set us an example that we do the same for one another. See, if Jesus prayed for our unity, then how much more should we be praying for our unity? Amen.
Amen.
Jesus knew that He knows the things that dim people, the things that dim the light within each person. And one of those things is a lack of prayer and a lack of unity. Or put it more simply, it's a lack of prayers for unity. Amen. And so I would ask you to think about this. How often do you intentionally pray for the unity of God's people? How often do you pray for the unity of God's people? In other words, do you spend more time talking about people or praying for people? Now, there's a challenge, right? Do I spend more time talking about people or praying for people? I would dare say that we probably spend more time talking about people than praying for people. And I'm talking about in the church, brothers and sisters. I'm confident that most of us spend more time talking about maybe our bosses or coworkers or things like that than praying for them. And maybe you're the exception to that. But I mean, when it comes to the church, what Jesus prayed for, he prayed for in John 17, it says he prayed for his disciples. And then he said he prayed for all believers. Let's actually go to John chapter 17. Actually, Jeff, let's go ahead and start with the whole chapter. I think it's important to read this whole chapter, John 17. And we're going to read verses 1 all the way down to verse 23, okay? It says, after Jesus said this, he looked up toward heaven and prayed. And I feel like this chapter alone deserves its own sermon series, you know. You know, I want you to imagine that these are literally those days before Jesus is going to the cross. And it says, he looked up toward heaven and he prayed. It's quite the contrast to what we typically do when it comes to prayer. We're like, I don't know where that came from, the whole head and lap thing, you know. But Jesus looked up to heaven, and I don't imagine that this is a prayer of defeat. Even though he knows what he's about to endure, I believe it is a prayer of hope, like we all get when we look up. We all get this sense of hope, don't we? But I'm not preaching about that today. That's a sermon in and of itself. It says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorified. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you've given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in the presence and your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Then he prays for his disciples, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they will still be in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By that name you gave me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture will be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And then we will talk about from our message today. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, and you and me. So that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. This is known as Jesus's high priestly prayer, right? This is a prayer, if you will, of intercession. And that's what the high priest did. He went to God on behalf of the people. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's going to God on behalf of his apostles, the disciples. And that's why he says the only one that's been lost is the one that was doomed. He goes to God on behalf of them, and he says this really deep and intimate prayer. And I love, he says, glorify me. But he doesn't say glorify me for the sake of me being glorified. Don't glorify me so I look awesome. He says, glorify me for your name's sake. Glorify me so that everyone will know, wow, I have been sent from God. Anybody ever want glory? But glory for themselves? Like, God, glorify me. Not for me. So I'm going to think I'm awesome. Glorify me so that people will know that, man, this person is of God. This could only, like the centurion, surely this was the Son of God. That is what Jesus is praying. Not a selfish glory thing. But this is a prayer. And I love that it's just not a prayer for his disciples and but he says, I'm praying for all those who would believe. I'm praying for y'all in this room. Yep. Praying for these teen disciples. Praying for Van Flowers. Praying for Linda Tucker. Praying for Forrest and Manny, John Rosario. I'm praying for them. We sing that song, Somebody Pray For Me, had on mind. Doesn't it do something to you? It says, my Jesus prayed for me, had me on his mind, took a little time and prayed for me. We love that, don't we? It's so moving. But Jesus says, I pray for those that will believe. They're not even born yet. But I'm praying for them. And what's his prayer? Help them to be unified. Jesus knew how difficult it would be to be unified. And I will tell you that he wasn't even gone a few years. And you can look through the book of Acts and you can see the temptations to be disunified that would stir up, right? I mean, they're getting disunified over distribution of bread. You kind of go, okay, well, this, you know, things would just get cattywampus quickly. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. You know, imagine down the road. All the things that will distract them. All the things that will tempt them to be disunified. It doesn't matter what the color of their skin is. Doesn't matter whether they all come from the same country. They will divide by tribes. They will figure out a way to be disunified. They will figure it out. They will think it through. And each of them will have their own conviction why my way of staying disunified and creating disunity is clearly best. And they will even have scripture. I mean, what are you going to do when you say, God told me to be a problem child? Well, what can you do about that? God told me I'm right. Well, you can't reason with someone that says that. It's like the people that say, God told me to kill this person. You're going, I don't even know. How do you reason with a person like that? How can you reason with someone that thinks that way? You can't. You just got to pray for them.
Yeah.
Pray harder. It reminds us that praying for one another, it is shining light into the lives of one another. Praying for one another shines light into the lives of one another. And that's our sermon title today. Point number one, pray for unity to reflect God's glory. But before I get to that, I do want to take a few moments here and just say, I know that as we talk about prayer, I know, go back a slide, Jeff. I know there are some challenges to praying. One more. There are challenges to prayer. For some of us, we might feel spiritual fatigue. If you've been around a long time, you may feel just tired. I mean, persisting in prayer can be an exhausting thing. I've been praying about this and praying about this and praying about this. And I'm tired of praying about it. And you don't want to say that out loud because you sound like a heretic if you say that out loud. But you, at the end of the day, you're going to go, Father God, help my husband. I mean, I know you're not really listening. I mean, I think you're listening, but you know, I mean, come on, God. God, please help my wife. God, my children. Oh, God. Guess I better get on my cross and pray for my children. You know what I'm saying? It can feel that way, right? It's exhausting. I've prayed about things and I've prayed about things and I've prayed. For some of us, I've prayed for a year. And for those that have been praying 5 years ago, you've been praying for a year. I've been praying for 5 years. And people that have been praying for 10 years ago, 5 years, I doubled that. I've been a Christian for 30 years and I've been praying for this and it ain't happened. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. We all got our stories to tell, but it doesn't matter whether it was 30 years or, frankly, a couple of days. It can be spiritually fatiguing to be persistent in prayer. You with me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The other thing is unanswered prayers. Some of us struggle with doubt when results aren't immediate. And when I say immediate, I mean, I'm not talking to God to do it today. God do it in the next 30 years? Can you do it in my lifetime? I feel like that's not too much to ask. But you got to remember with God, a day is like 1,000 years.
All right.
And so we can just, again, unanswered prayers could just be a challenge. It can be a discouragement for us. But frankly, we got to realize, too, that there is flat out resistance to our prayers. Sometimes it's just we have a real enemy that is resisting our prayers. I didn't plan to turn this. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. Jeff, can you turn over there? Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. This is one of those. I didn't know this was in the Bible as a young Christian. And my disciple at the time was sharing with me this story. And this is a story about Daniel. And I like this. It says, then it continues, says, do not be afraid, Daniel. It says, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Your words were heard. And I've come in response to those words. So I want you to imagine it. Daniel, you set your heart to follow God. And that by definition means that Daniel was talking to God. It says, since the day you decided to follow God, you've been praying. You've been talking to God. Do one, they say, you decided to follow God and you never prayed. That's not even possible. They're Christians pray. I mean, or people who follow God, they talk to God. Amen?
Yeah.
But since you decided you were going to follow God, I want you to know your words have been heard. And the angel says, I have come in response to them. But look what it says next. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. because I was detained there with the king of Persia. What is this saying? It says, you decided you were going to follow God, and the angel goes, I'm on my way. Here I come. And Satan goes, oh, no, you're not. You know, man, Satan's like, going to block the angel. And the angel goes, okay, I got to fight Satan to get the fence. I got to fight him. I'm on my way. Melissa, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to help you. But the devil is fighting me. He goes, I need some help here. Michael, get down here. I mean, Satan fights hard. He does, fights hard. We have a real enemy that is constantly working against us. It was pretty cool and we got together for midweek on Sunday, and we split up into small groups, and our family group got together, and we're talking about what you got out of the message in prayer, and Fidel was deeply convicted. Fidel goes something like, I think Satan is working against us. I was like, man, Fidel, what you been reading, man? But he was deeply convicted, like the enemy is trying to hurt us and stop us. And I'm like, okay. It was a little scary, wasn't it, Tyler? Well, you were there. Like, Fidel has like got some deep convictions about Satan, like trying to hurt us and stop us. But it is true. We have a real enemy. And I want you to know that surely you may feel like, well, 21 days would be nice. How about 21 years? A day is like 1,000 years. So, you know what I mean? I don't know what that means, but I want you to know, man, there's real resistance. But we need to remember that, amen? Yes. We need to remember that the angels are in an all-out war. You can't see it, but if you could peel back and see the spiritual realm, there is a war for your souls. Wow. And some of us are just floating around, acting like everything's cool, caught up in all of these other things that might be going on. You go, man, our enemy is out to destroy us. Well, I better get on to the sermon. I'm never going to get done. Point number one, pray for unity to reflect God's glory. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I am you in you, that they also may be in us. You know, Jesus prays for a unity that mirrors the relationship between the Father and the Son. This unity is not based on sort of mere agreement with one another. You with me? But it's based on a shared life in God. A life of love, a life of humility, and a life of purpose. That's what Jesus prayed for. May they be one as I am in you and you are in me. That is the example of unity. That is what Jesus prayed for. That's what he prayed for. May they be one just like we're one, Father. I and you, you and me. But that requires love. And it requires humility. And it requires purpose for me to be in you and you in me, for us to be one. Man, Jesus says, that's my prayer. Wow. And in case you didn't know that, Jesus didn't just pray that. Why didn't he come straight out and just say, you need to be praying the same thing. You need to pray it every Sunday. You need to pray it every day. You need to pray it at midweeks. But I think that's the example. Amen. Yeah. That's what he did. See, we had no problem praying the Lord's Prayer. Amen. But man, isn't that the call? This is a reflection even of the Trinity. Yeah. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That beautiful dance that takes place. Mm-hmm. The Godhead. It's a dance. It's like, which one is more important? That's a very Western way of thinking. Well, who's the most important? Who's the big dog, you know? There's this beautiful dance that takes place. When I am in you and you are in me, this perfect oneness. The church is called to display this sort of oneness to the world, amen? But we will never have that if we're not praying for that. You know, see, the early church, though they were diverse in culture and background and language. I mean, at least most of us in here speak the same language. I know there's a few exceptions, okay? But they were a very diverse group, were they not? And it says, man, they were known for their unity. Even in the midst of persecution, they were unified. When the persecution came, they didn't start pointing fingers at each other. Go, you know, if you wouldn't have shared your faith with that person, how did you say it to them? If you wouldn't have said it that way, it wouldn't have been so much heat on us. No, they just stayed unified. Because their love for one another, it set them apart. And it reflected God's presence. Amen? There was something about them that people knew what these people are with God. They have been with God. Unity is essential if we want to shine God's light. A divided church can never reflect the beauty of God's love. It can't. A divided church can never reflect the beauty of God's love. Well, you say, bro, why are you talking about you feel like our church is divided? Well, it's the next topic in the series. Amen. But if the shoe fits, put it on, run around with it. You know what I'm saying? Point number two, pray for unity to be a witness to the world. That the world may believe that you have sent me, Jesus says. You know, Jesus ties the church's unity to the world's belief that our mission is actually of God. The world will only believe our mission is divine if we are unified. Can you believe that? That Jesus gave us that kind of, I mean, he prayed for it, but he says, the world will only believe that your mission is real, that you are really his disciples if you're unified. But that tracks, right, with John 13. They will know you're Christians by your love. A new command, Jesus says, love one another. That's how they'll know you're my disciples, if you love one another. Amen. Yeah. Unity is the church's greatest apologetic. Our greatest apologetic is our unity. It's not that you believe in studying the Bible with people. It's not that you believe in baptism. It's not that you have a nice building. It's not that you come dressed real nice on Sunday mornings. Our greatest apologetic to the world is our unity. It is. I know we tend to think our greatest apologetic is we believe in the Bible. Well, go out there and find a church that ain't going to say that. Go find some people, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, Satan knows. You know those people are. That's not it. Your unity is our greatest apologetic. It is the most compelling evidence that we are of God and not of man. Because if you're a man, well, it'll bust up anyway after a while. You're worried about movements and all those things, they will fall apart. I don't care what you call them. Eventually they will fall apart. But man, people of God, they remain unified, amen? When you imagine a lighthouse, okay? This lighthouse has no light. What's the point of it? There's no light. What is the point of a lighthouse that is either dark or dim? And I tell you, disunity, distrust, those are the things that darken our hearts. Those are the things that make us dim and make us dark, and we are not a light. In fact, we are, that is only an obstacle to destroy. That's all it is. It's an obstacle to destroy a ship. It's supposed to be a beacon of light. It's supposed to say, hey, you know, you're on the right track. You're on the right course. Or, hey, avoid this massive rock, you know, thing that's going to probably destroy your ship. No, this says nothing. Wow. This does nothing. It's unproductive. Wow. It is instead just a stumbling block. Wow. Such is a disciple who does not, who is unwilling to be unified. The world judges the authenticity of faith by how well we love one another. Unity makes our light shine brighter. It draws others to God. I love it when I talk to people and they say they come to church and they go, something good. You know, our young brother Warren came to his first congregational midweek. He sat right over there on Sunday, on Wednesday night. It was pretty cool. Warren goes, he stood up at the end. He goes, you know, I feel like I'm on the in crowd now, you know, like this is so awesome. It was so warm. He just couldn't believe the warmth he felt in the group. And he just said, I feel like I'm in the group now. I'm going, bro, you were in the group when you got baptized. But amen, bro. Sorry about that. But man, he felt something warm and different about that midweek service. Amen. The challenge is, man, what steps will you take to reconcile with anyone? Wow. Anyone you need to reconcile with to strengthen the unity of your faith in the community. Can you think of anybody in the congregation right now that you're not currently unified with? Anybody. I want to challenge you to pair up with them. Over the next 7 days, share by taking responsibility for maybe how you've allowed this or whatever it might be to sort of interrupt your prayers. You know, there's Bible on that. If you go to the altar and you still got something against someone, you know that? It is hard to pray. We talk about that. It's hard to be intimate with God when you got stuff. When you won't forgive. Even if you go, well, I don't need to forgive. They need to forgive. Whatever the case is, all of that mumbling, that work that out. Amen. Yeah. I don't have a problem with the real problem. You know what I'm saying? You know how we do? You know how we justify our lack of unity. Yeah. Whatever that might be, work that out.
Amen. Come on, Ben.
Work it out. Apologize and pray for greater unity. Amen. Some cases you may need a third party, but I'm telling you, not though until you at least have attempted Matthew 18. Amen. Yeah. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. And as I said earlier, John 13:34, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, pray for unity. So that we will be a witness to the world. And lastly, pray with love to build a culture of light. You know, at the end of the day, the church has to be a place where people find love. It's got to be a place where people find love. But you know, we can't give what we don't possess. If we don't have love, then we can't give love. I had a conversation with I deal with athletes at different times in my life through coaching or officiating or whatever it might be. And so I had this athlete that came to me. And they were just, hey, how's it going? What's going on? And the athlete began to say, my coach this, my coach that, my coach this, my coach that. And they're saying this to me, and they had a teammate nearby. And I noticed the teammate kept getting closer as this person was complaining. Because, you know, something draws us to complaining. When people are complaining, we go, I was busy, but I'll come over. We like it. We love complaining. We love complaining. We love complaining. We love complaint groups. We love complaint boxes. You know what I mean? We just love to complain. We do. Can you imagine if you were customer service for Amazon and you had the complaint section? Sweet luck. I can't even imagine. You automate that, you know what I'm saying? Like the automatic response, right? But they were complaining, and there was a teammate close by. And the teammate just kept getting closer and closer. And at first, the teammate was listening. And then I noticed the teammate shaking her head. As the person was complaining, and I was starting to feel a little uncomfortable. I'm going, you're complaining. I want you to stop complaining. But your teammate now is going, amen, hallelujah, sing, preach. This is the teammate. And it wasn't long before the teammate went, and yeah, and they were the same way and started kind of doing their thing. And I was like, okay. Let's wrap this up. So I pulled this athlete aside. And after having a little conversation about what they were doing and what was going on and blah, 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 I said, listen to me, guy. Do not complain about your coach in front of your teammates. Amen. If you want to destroy your team, if you want to absolutely destroy your team, don't complain. Just complain about your coach in front of your teammates. It will destroy your team.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have been on a lot of teams. I have been the team obliterator, and I've been the one trying to get teammates to stop obliterating, and everything in between. I said, you can talk to your coach about your issues, but don't complain about your issues. I said, now go to your teammate and apologize for complaining about your coach, and then go talk to your coach about your problems. Because the problems were not, like, insurmountable. You know what I mean? Because it's just a stinking game. You know what I'm saying? It's a game. You know what I mean? It's like what they were complaining about was not that big of a deal. See what I'm saying? But I get it. It was a big deal to them in that moment. This is sort of, it's the culture. And I think I used this quote once from, it's not in the Bible, but culture eats strategy for breakfast. Where there's a culture of whining and complaining and grumbling, you can't get anything done. In fact, God destroyed Israel for such behavior. That makes sense? Grumbling and complaining. Remember? Moses went up, God goes, now leave me so that I can go down and deal with these people. I mean, Moses goes, no. Please. Don't destroy all of them, you know? I know they're grumbling and complaining. I'll work with them. And then Moses went down and broke the tablets and made them eat it. It was a mess, okay? But man, pray with love to build a culture of light. A culture of love. Jesus prays for unity. Unity is founded in love. It reflects God's love. The love for his son and the love for us. And this love, it transforms relationship and it becomes the foundation for our mission as the light of the world. Pray for love. Pray for love. Pray for us to love one another deeply. Pray for it and that we'll work out whatever it is and nothing's insurmountable. Nothing's too big. Just like that athlete. Hey, what you got to work through, it's not that big. It's not too big. You can sure. And you know what? Your coach may agree, may not agree. I don't know what your coach is going to say, but it's better to talk to them than to hurt your team. But pray to love. Commit yourself to praying daily. You know, there's so many great examples of this in the book of Acts. I'll just go through a few of them. But in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, you know, it says they prayed, the unity in the prayer at Pentecost. The disciples, they gathered together in one place and they're praying and they're waiting for the promised Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit descended upon them, empowering them to speak in tongues, and 3,000 were added to their number. Unity in prayer prepares God's people for power and purpose. But then the daily fellowship in Acts 2, 42 through 47, the believers, they got together, said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to
prayer.
Yeah.
All right.
So they shared their possessions and goods, and every day they met together in the temple courts and in their homes, and their love and their unity, they attracted others, and the Lord added to their number daily. Amen. Acts chapter 4, 30 through 35. The needs came up, and it says the believers were one in heart and mind, shared everything they had. Those who owned property or land, they sold it to meet the needs of others. There were no needy persons among them, it says. What a radical generosity they practiced. It was a demonstration of God's love. Man, unity and generosity, man, that's when the church is showing off. Amen. Acts 7, 54 through 8, 4. Man, they got persecuted. When Stephen was martyred, do you remember in Acts 7? It says, man, they, despite the being scattered, it says they preached the word wherever they went. And man, the Lord added to their number. They still grew. It actually advanced the mission of God. Amen. They stayed unified through it all. In Acts chapter 10. You know, another opportunity to become unity. God gives Peter a vision to let the Gentiles in. I'm telling you, something that could have created a great deal of disunity in the church. Peter got this vision. So, but he goes into the home of Cornelius. But the early church, they accepted the Gentiles as part of God's family. And it created unity and a culture of love in an otherwise ethnically divided group of people. See, unity in Jesus transcends culture, ethnicity, race, all of those things. It transcends it all. It's more important than anything in the world.
Right.
Nothing's more important than it.
Amen.
It's what Jesus prayed for, amen?
Amen.
Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3. This is the church that got together and they prayed and they fasted and they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas and they sent them out. Isn't that awesome? Of course, later Paul and Barnabas, they get into a conflict. They part ways, but they come back together. Amen.
Yeah.
But see, it's just an example of, man, how quickly disunity could strike.
Yeah. All right.
How we can begin to splinter. You go to Acts chapter 15, then it's starting. We're really becoming a church family now. In Acts chapter 15, there was a doctrinal dispute that broke out. Imagine that in the church. About the Gentile believers, needed to follow Moses' laws. The apostles, the elders, they met, the council. They got together and they reached a spirit-led decision that upheld the unity of God's people. Affirming love. Bring them all in. Let's become a family of believers. They addressed the disagreement head on. But they dealt with it. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, prayer all throughout the book of Acts. Read it sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
But man, we have got to work hard and pray for our unity. So as we wrap up, let's pray to have a culture of love. Pray with love to build a culture of light. Pray with love in your heart. But if you don't have love in your heart, go work that out. Okay, man. If there's anyone you're having a hard time praying for, that's someone you need to have a conversation with. And you may be tempted to go, it's not that big of a deal. We talked before. We worked it out. Hey, you know what? Maybe sometimes you just need to go and say, you know, I know we talked about this and I'm really sorry. And I forgave you. And I just want to come back to you again and says, I forgive you and I love you. And I really want to be able to pray for you. And I don't want anything in my heart towards you. And if you think about it one or two times, you need to have a conversation. Amen. So as we wrap up here, I'll close out. Jesus said that we'd be the light of the world. The light of the world said that you are the light of the world. And it was fulfilling a promise that God gave a long time ago, as numerous as the stars in the sky. You will shine like stars, as Philippians said. But to shine like stars, we need prayer and unity, and we need to pray for our unity. It's not something we can take for granted. Amen?
Right.
Amen. And I notice some of us here, we just tend to be a little bit sort of disconnected, a little bit on the fringe, a little bit sort of like, you know, what's going on in the church again? We're not really attentive, okay? I want to encourage you to lean in, amen? To lean in. Together, let's be the light of the world, and let's pray for it, because it won't happen unless we do. God bless.
Amen.